The enemy is doing everything he can to get you to move your faith to anything other positionally than Christ and Him crucified, because it is the one spot that victory is guaranteed.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in this study, Why Your Faith Needs the Cross. This is part two from that sermon series. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
You actually have all the faith you need in what God initially gave you. For He said to His disciples, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed before? Okay, if you've never done that, go online and check it out. Go down to the store and buy you some mustard seeds, because it is so minute that picking up one of them is very, very difficult. And when you do get one, generally you get two, three, or four, because your fingers are so large on the little mustard seed. Jesus said to His disciples, after He had cast out the devil of the young boy, after they came off the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, the problem you've got is that your faith is not in the right location. You're hanging around people, He said, that is a faithless generation, and they're putting their faith in something other than Me. Now, that would perpetuate to the cross as the object of our faith. So we have faith that God has given to us as a gift. Now, that faith needs to increase. And what you're doing here tonight by listening to the Word of God and receiving the Word of God, the Bible is very clear in the book of Romans. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you know about God, the more faith you're going to have. The more you know about your spouse, the more you know about your company, the more you know about whatever, the more faith and confidence you can have in that thing or that person. The less you know, let's flip it around, the less you know, the less confidence, the less faith you have. Therefore, what does that constitute? It means, generally speaking, that you're going to, if you don't have faith in that person or that thing, then you will turn it around, and as many people do, as we all do, because we are all these self-sufficient, independent people, we came here with that kind of a spirit, okay? We have confidence in ourself. Let me say it like this, you'll get it. Boy, if you want anything done, you just gotta... The arrogance of the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, who brought up the conversation with Jesus and said, actually their mother did, the prying, hovering helicopter mom, came in and said, Mr. Jesus, I just want to ask you, I got these two boys, and they're real fine boys, and they've been following you a little while. Which one's going to be able to sit on the left and right? How about considering my boys for an elevated position? And when the final analysis comes down, one of the disciples says, I'm going to go all the way with you. And Jesus says, you're not going to, all of you are going to scatter, because you cannot drink of the cup that I'm going to drink. But you will, but you can't do it now. Why is that? Because until I go to the cross and show you how it's done, you're not going to be able to do it. But once I show you, you'll be able to put your faith in what I have done and have confidence. Why? Because I didn't just die. The seed was buried in a tomb. And then He rose from the dead. So the seed was buried. And on 3 days, that's the fastest harvest the world has ever known. When was the last time you put a seed in the ground and 3 days later you went out there and started picking fruit? The Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, what's the point of that? Jesus didn't just die. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. Now He is elevated to the right-hand position of God the Father, sitting there ever living to make intercession for us. He's very much alive. While He is physically not walking around in this room, His spirit lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you, and that is the witness that we are born again. If Jesus had just died, all of our faith would have stopped there, and everybody would have gone back to their businesses. Peter said, I go a fishing, and it's over with, I'm done. Why are we here tonight? Because we believe. So before the word faith was, they call them believers. The believer. So faith and believing are basically synonymous terms. So what are you saying? I'm saying that the believers believed that Jesus died, was buried, rose again. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the same pattern that they did back in the day of Jesus. It is the same pattern that is necessary for us to be able to be saved, born again today. So what did I tell you this weekend? That seed was buried. And every one of us go through this metamorphosis every day. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. It happens to us every day. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. You're dying right now to today. You will go home and lay down in your bed, pull the covers over your head, and you will bury yourself in your pillow. And if the Lord have mercy upon you and me, when the alarm clock awakens you in the morning, which actually is God Almighty who exhales and you inhale the breath of life, you wake up, your eyes open up to a brand new day that you've never experienced before. And you got 24 to experience a brand new day of being born again into a brand new day. Your faith must have a place for it to rest. It cannot rest in some nebulous nothing, some empty, vast whatever. Or as faith teachers, ultra faith teachers will teach you, you just have to have faith in faith. Well, faith in faith gets me nothing, because what is that? Or okay, so what is that? Well, you gotta have enough faith. Or you gotta try harder to have faith. So when Jesus comes down, pardon me, off of the Mount of Transfiguration, and the boy that's demon-possessed was there, he had the B-team disciples that were down there that were struggling all the time while Peter, James, John, and Jesus were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're down there saying, oh, come out, come out, come out. And the devil laughed. Jesus comes down with Peter, James, and John, the A-team. And the man says, I brought my boy to your B-team evangelist, and they didn't have the juice. Can I talk to you? They didn't have the juice. Jesus steps up and says, come out. The demon comes out. The boy sits up in his right mind. And all of the followers that are close to Jesus go, why can't we do that? In fact, if you read the story, the Bible says they called Jesus privately over because they didn't want to be embarrassed in front of the crowd, because the crowd had already seen them struggling. Y'all with me here tonight? The crowd had already seen them struggling with their faith to try to cast out the devil by their own doing. They said, Jesus, Mr. Jesus, come over here. Tell us, why couldn't we cast out this devil? And then he goes down the list. First of all, he says, you're living in a faithless generation. You're hanging around a bunch of people that are not feeding your faith. They're feeding your Facebook, but they're not feeding your faith. You're reading all the wrong stuff, so you're not getting faith built upon. You're not knowing me enough to be able to do what you need to do. Now, I don't believe that he's scolding them. I believe he's teaching them, just like I'm doing for you here tonight. Because I just want to let all of y'all know. I know this right here is probably going to scare the liver right out of you. But I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The Bible says in the last days that we, the believers, are to have the stuff, the anointing, the power, to cast the devil out of people. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm about to divide this congregation right now. We're about to find out who's got the stuff. How many of you are believers here tonight? Let me see your hand. Okay, then you are supposed to be qualified to have faith in Jesus, not you. You can't cast the devil out of nothing. But if you'll come this weekend, my subject matter is going to be Hello, My Name Is. You won't want to miss it. Amen. I'm preaching on Hello, My Name Is, so don't miss that, because you need what this message is going to say. I'm just saying to you tonight, every believer in this room, every believer on this people planet that believes that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still casts out devils, he still heals, he still saves, he still sets free, he still fills with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Believers are to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the book says. Now, why are we not seeing that happening? Because we are living in a faithless generation. None of this is in my notes, by the way. A faithless generation where we're talking to people about all kinds of stuff and any number of things all day long, and we're caught up in our own deal, and then we wonder when something confronts us that we don't have anything more than that. Even though that can do it, we don't even have enough confidence in that. Because our lives and our spirit is filled with all kinds of stuff all day long. Are you hearing me? You cannot survive off of a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night snack. You must be purposefully and intentionally every day of your life getting to know the Lord better. Through the Word of God, through worship, through all of those things that builds your faith. So the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast the devil out? He said, well, first of all, you're living in a faithless generation. You're hanging around the wrong people. You need to get away from that. Second of all, he said, this kind, now watch this, and this is where people go off the chart. This kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. So what do? Because we are Methodist at our core. That's the denomination of Methodist is rooted in methods. That's where that word comes from. Methodology. Methodist. So we like a method. We like men especially like 1, 2, 3. Amen. Give it to me in 3. Give it to me. I got it. And so what do with what Jesus said? He said, this kind comes out but by fasting and prayer. That means if I fast more, I can cast out bigger devils. Really? You've just taken your faith, and while fasting and prayer is definitely what you need to be doing. What did I say? Fasting. Fasting. While both of those are Christian disciplines, if you put your faith in how much prayer you do and how much fasting you do, you're going to shrink away to nothing but a skin and bone and still be struggling with the devil. Because the devil wants you to put your faith in anything and everything other than the cross. Why? Because this is the one spot where the devil knows he was once and for all defeated. And there is no other place. Why do I have to keep going back to the cross? Because there is no other place where the victory is accomplished. You start meditating upon the cross of Jesus Christ and what that accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. It's more than just this one weekend or two weekend preaching of the cross. When you begin to understand that, Paul let us know right here in 1 Corinthians 1:18. He said, For those that don't believe, for those that are perishing, for those that don't put their faith in the cross as the final solution for the devil, for as the finality, the end all, I mean, he said it is finished. He wasn't talking about himself. He's talking about sin. He was talking about death. He was talking about disease. He was talking about all of that. He said it is finished. He put a nail in it, and it was over.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.